Well, first of all, the fact that the general election did take place this year, with all its faults, is an indication that the referendum could take place as well. But there are many outstanding issues that need to be resolved before a referendum, in my opinion, could take place. For example, the Boundaries Commission need to agree on where does the north end and where does the south begin. And this is a very difficult issue because it's in those regions between the north and south that the great deposits of oil are found. Now, were the oil to be predominantly in the south, it would be a very serious situation for the north that depend, both north and south depend on oil for revenue. At the moment, all the oil goes north. It goes north to Port Sudan. And there is no access from the south for the oil to go somewhere. They'd have to build a pipeline to somewhere like Mombasa, which would take years to come. So there has to be an agreement on the boundaries. There has to be an agreement on the oil. There has to be an agreement about the people in the north, and there are about 2 million Southerners in the north. Have they got the right to vote in the referendum? There has to be some kind of an agreement about people who are excluded from the referendum, such as the people in the Southern Blue Nile and the Nuba region. And all these things need to be worked out to have a credible referendum. Then there would have to be some kind of a transition period where the national issues about defense, about the debt of the nation, all these national issues would have to be worked out north and south. So you really, even if you do have a referendum, and most likely you would have a vote for secession, I don't think it can happen overnight. It has to be a phased-in approach.
So once again, we see Africa's wealth, its mineral wealth and its depository wealth as being at the heart of an issue that can become quite contentious. But what is the reality of the difference between the two countries shown there for a second? For our listeners, perhaps, who are not that familiar with Sudan.
Well, basically, I mean, it's a bit simplistic, but it is true. The north is predominantly Muslim and the south is predominantly Christian and animist. And that really is the big difference between north and south in the people. So you have a more, if you like, Arab north and a more African south. It is the biggest country in Africa, but there are regions in, for example, you have the whole issue of Darfur in the west, which doesn't fall under the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. In fact, the Comprehensive Peace Agreement that was signed that brought an end to the civil war between the north and south 6 years ago is really a ceasefire. It's not comprehensive because it doesn't cover Darfur, it doesn't cover the Southern Blue Nile, it doesn't cover the Nuba Mountains. And therefore, it has given a breathing space to north and south to, if you like, prepare for this great moment, which is the cornerstone of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, is the right of the South to have a referendum on secession. So, but then, you know, as you know, Sudan has found itself in a very, very precarious neighborhood because you have problems in Eritrea and Somalia and the Central African Republic. And I think if you look at Africa in general, a lot of African countries would be afraid of a referendum in Sudan, because they would fear that the same thing could happen in their own country. For example, the conflict in the north of Uganda. Would the LRA begin to say, we want an independent north of Uganda? Would the people in the east of the DRC, in Kivu states, would they ask for independence because they've got the wealth of the nation? So there's very little being said by the AU. There's very little being said by the UN about this referendum. And I think, in general, the world would prefer that there was no referendum. But if there is no referendum, it is a big possibility that there'd be a return to civil war. So it's a really catch-22 situation.
So even though it is a catch-22 situation, is there a third way out?
Right. I think, and this is what we're pushing with our church in Sudan, we need honest brokers, and honest brokers who would come from outside. People, I know that Thabo Mbeki is doing a lot of work up there at the moment and is respected. People from the Carter Foundation are involved in Sudan and are respected. So although the referendum can take place because it must take place to avoid a civil war, there has to be a transition period put in place, probably for another 6 years or something, that would allow all the issues which could be placed on the table beforehand be worked out in a negotiated manner. Now, is there the goodwill in the North to allow for that? I don't know. But certainly there is no way that you could have an independent South in January 2011, even if the referendum went ahead. So there has to be a bit like what South Africa had in their comprehensive negotiation process before the elections of 94, where they brought all role players together. And you do have to bring all role players, because if you exclude anybody, you leave the potential for further conflict open. So by bringing all the role players together and saying, now, how do we work this new relationship of two countries within the boundaries of Sudan? And how do we share out all the different portfolios of national security, of revenue, of oil, of boundaries? All these things have to be worked out. So you'd have to have a two-pronged approach. One, to allow the referendum to go ahead, because this is what the people of the South have waited 6 years for. And two, bring in a negotiated transition period that would put in place the different blocks to allow for a new country to emerge and peaceful relationship with the country in the North.